Well, as we stand now for the public reading of God's Word, let us turn to the Gospel of Luke as we continue our journey in Luke's Gospel, chapter 4, looking at verses 33. Luke chapter 4 and verses 33 to 37. Luke chapter 4, verses 33 to 37. And in the synagogue there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil, and cried out with a loud voice, saying, Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, Hold thy peace, and come out of him. And when the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him, and hurt him not. And they were all amazed, and spake amongst themselves, saying, What a word is this! For with authority and power commanded the unclean spirits, and they come out. And the fame of him went out into every place of the country round about. Please be seated, and may God bless this word. Well, in verses 33, we see Jesus once again doing what he normally did as a male Jewish member, okay, of his society. And one of those responsibilities of a Jewish male following their bar mitzvah, where they pass from adolescence, if you will, to full-fledged manhood. Look way back to Luke chapter 4, verses 16. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. So not only did Jesus go to the synagogue, and when it was his time to read from the scrolls, he did so. He also went to the synagogue because that's what you did. And as a male member of his community, he followed that tradition. Nothing wrong with that tradition, being in a house where God's word would have been read and then expounded. So Jesus is doing nothing different than what he would normally have done in his life at this time. So he goes into the synagogue, and notice, number one, the devil don't mind being in a house of worship. The devil doesn't mind going to a local church because some of his children are there. Now that might shock you. In many churches, you're simply a member because when you were an infant, you were baptized. Well, that infant baptism did nothing at all. The Bible doesn't even condone infant baptism. Matter of fact, it actually condemns the baptism of infants and babies. Everyone who's baptized in the New Testament first place faith and trust in Christ, and then they were baptized. So there are many people who go to different Christian denominations, whether Catholic or Protestant, who are not even saved, and yet they'll point to their infant baptism as them being a Christian. Mom and dad are Christian, so I'm a Christian. So notice here, the devil don't mind being in a place of worship. Why? Look at verse 33. There was a man that had an unclean spirit, and he cried out with a loud voice. So here's a man who is demon possessed. Now Hollywood may make demon possession look ridiculous and funny and kooky, but demon possession is real. Okay? You go to other parts of the world and you will see demon possession in the raw, in your face, without any embellishment or revising done by Hollywood. Okay? The famous movie years ago, The Exorcist, made a total sham of demon possession. And many people think that demon possession was something that was conjured up in the Middle Ages in order to keep people under the thumbnail of the Catholic Church. Beloved, in the days of Jesus, demon possession was very much in the open because Jesus came to destroy the power of the devil. Read the book of Hebrews. And therefore, when he came on the scene, when our Savior came on the scene, hell, if you will, or that demonic dark world just opened up like a floodgate. Even the devil, we saw earlier in our reading in Luke, even the devil came out of a box, if you will, and tempted Christ there in the wilderness. And Jesus came out the victor. So demon possession is real. Don't be fooled by what Hollywood tells you. Now notice verses 34. Not only does the devil or demons like to be in church, the devil or the demons have better theology than most pastors. Notice what the demon says. Let us alone. What have we to do with thee? So there's a plural. So there was apparently more than one demon in this poor man ruining his life and destroying his quality of life, if you will. You are Jesus of Nazareth. I know who thou art. You are the Holy One of God. The demons had a better understanding of who Jesus is and was than some pastors behind pulpits and some church denominations today. They have repackaged Jesus into something else that he's not. Thirdly, the demons also know that their time is up. Look at that same verse. Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? So the demons also know that their time of fun and frolic is going to come to a screeching halt someday. Verse 35, the next thing. Jesus rebukes the demons and tells, hold thy peace and come out of him. And the demon had to obey. Now you see these charlatans on TV with their healing services and casting out demons. All right, when Jesus told the demon to leave, that demon had no other choice but to scram. They obeyed Jesus immediately on the spot. When you read The Exorcist or watch that movie, that horrible movie, the priest is constantly begging and pleading with a cross in his hand and throwing holy water on the poor girl who's possessed and commanding it to come out of her in Jesus' name. And the demon doesn't even budge. But when Jesus tells the demon to leave, they have no other choice but to leave. Verse 36, everybody who witnessed this particular miracle were totally out of their wits' end. They were totally amazed. And notice, with authority and power, he commanded the unclean spirits, and they came out. And that's the difference between the faith healers of Jesus' day and those who pretend to be the faith healers today. Jesus had authority and the power and the might to tell that demon to scram. And what was the final conclusion to this beautiful act on the part of Jesus to relieve this man of his demon possession? The fame of Jesus went out into every place of the country round about. So in the very beginning of Jesus' ministry, he was riding the wave of popularity. But that wave of popularity would eventually come crashing down when Jesus began to confront the religious leaders of his day. And the hatred and the envy and the animosity of the unbelieving, apostate, aristocratic Jews and their system of apostasy then aimed its guns on the Savior. And they thought that they would get rid of him when they had him crucified. Well, 3 days and three nights later, Jesus proved them all wrong. Well, may God choose to bless his word.